Let's go, if you will, stand with me to, let's go to Genesis 1 and 1, then 2:15 and 9 and 20. In the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Chapter 2, verse 15, and God took the man and put him, speaking of Adam, the one that he had created, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It's called a husbandman. Then we go to Genesis 9 and 20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. I want to talk from this title a little while. It's time to begin again. It's time to begin again. Lord, I ask you to open up our understanding today to realize that every day your mercies are fresh, they're new, and we can start life all over again this morning and tomorrow morning and the next morning. Amen. If we're just willing to get up and ask you for mercy once again, we can always start over in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's time to begin again. Everything has a beginning except God. God's never had a beginning. He's never had, never will have an ending. Always was and always will be. And the Bible tells us to never despise the day of small beginnings. Microsoft, from my understanding, and Dell Computer and some of those started in somebody's garage. Many things started in somebody's garage, and today they're household names. And no company ever got big overnight. They started small. And let me tell you, you never was a mature Christian in overnight either. You didn't become mature as soon as you got the Holy Ghost. Sometimes people expect maturity out of people that just got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they're babies in the Lord. And it takes, you can't walk until you first crawl. And we're wanting them to do all the things that you do after 30 years of living for God. It doesn't work that way. And so God has never failed. Can you say amen? That's why I just let God do what God's going to do, because he's never failed. He's never made a mistake. He's never been late. He's never been early. He's just always on time. But God does have to put up with our errors. And because of our errors, God himself has started again. Even in the potter, when you look at the potter's field, he told the prophet, he said, go out to the potter's field. And he said, the potter was making a vessel of one thing and it was marred in the potter's hands. So he said, I'll make it another thing. I'll just begin again. I won't do it what I thought I was going to do it for. But because of man's errors and man's flaws, I'm not through with man. I'm not through with you. I'm just going to change what I was going to do and we'll just start over again. And so God has always been successful at everything he's done. He never tried to do anything. He just did it. He doesn't try to do anything. We try, but he just does it. He says, let there be light, and it's there, you know. And so we try, and many times we're not successful. But God has always been successful. As soon as he says, let there be light, it was there. And God was successful in separating the firmament from the firmament. He didn't have any struggle with that. He didn't have any struggle with separating the waters from the waters of the land coming forth. God was not in a bind when he said, let there be stars and the sun and the moon. It was just there. He doesn't struggle. It's us that struggled. And he created man in his own image. It was no struggle for God to do that. He just created his own image and breathed life or breath into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And it looks like because we're in the image of God, we wouldn't struggle either. But the problem is that we have a side of us, especially Adam did not have the breath of God. He did not have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God actually living in him. He was just a vessel that God was using. And God took and put this man inside of a garden in which God had planted. And he gave him a wife from the rib that he had. God didn't struggle with this surgery. The Bible says he opened up the side of him, the sinew, and he took out a rib and he closed it up thereof, and he made a woman out of this rib. He didn't struggle with it. So God took all the successes that he had and he put this man, which so far was a successful man, into a successful garden, and he wanted him to be a successful husbandman, a successful caretaker of his garden. Just dress it and keep it and you can eat of it. And he told the man and the woman, he said, now I want you to subdue, I want you to have dominion. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to replenish. Okay? Whatever the world was before, which I believe there was a world before this world, God said, we're just going to begin again. Just going to begin again. So God put this man and put him in charge of all the things that he had in the garden. And I suppose that Adam was successful in trimming the trees and eating the fruit. And I'm sure he was successful in all of those things. I hope that he was. And I suppose that he was successful in subduing things and having dominion over things and all the creeping things and the fowl there. I have no reason to believe he wasn't. But there come a day, the Bible says, that he was successful in listening to the voice of God, but he was not successful in obeying the voice of God. And many times we're successful in listening, we're not successful in doing. And so the Bible says that he did not obey the voice of God, but rather he hearkened to the voice of the woman who was disobeying the voice of God. Do you know when you follow someone who's disobeying the voice of God, you get the same penalty? I think that if you're driving the car and the armed robbers are in there, well, I think you get the same penalty for driving the car as holding the gun. If not, you should. So his hearkening to the voice of the woman was not necessarily the problem. It was only because she was disobeying the voice of God. Because men have to hearken to the voice of their wives sometimes, but not if they're disobeying the voice of God. And it was this disobedience that has consequences. Disobedience always has consequences. Did you know that? It always has consequences. And so through Adam's disobedience, the Bible says that death began to reign. Not this that's pouring down now. To dominate, overcome. It reigned on earth along with sin. It was sin and death reigned. And through this one man's disobedience, now is the beginning of sin and death. Just through one man, all of this would begin. And through one person's disobedience, all this occurred. Later, through one person, Jesus Christ's obedience, this would all be reversed. Sin began to reign, and the earth was filled with violence. It began to rain. And when it began to rain, the earth was filled with violence. It was so full of violence that the Bible says their thoughts were wicked continually. Continually wicked. And God's patience, I liken it to a sponge that has soaked up all the water it could soak up, and there was no more to soak up. God was sick. His cup was full. It's going to get full again. But his cup was full. He even so much as repented that he regretted he had made man. I tell you, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But the Bible says that when he got ready, he could no longer tolerate their sin, the world's sin, and he decided to destroy everything. But Noah, you need to thank Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If it hadn't been for Noah, I don't know what would have happened. We might not even be here. It was Noah that stopped the vengeance, if you will, of God from destroying everything off of the earth, and the Lord just beginning again with however he decided to do it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was he a perfect man in his generation? He was. We put him in here today, I don't know. But in his generation, he was perfect. And the Lord looked at him and said, I'm not going to destroy everything because of that one man. You know how many families are still existing that the Lord would, but there's one righteous one in it? Even the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pleaded for the Lord, if there's 50 righteous souls, a huge city. If there's 50 righteous souls, will you let it? Yeah, okay, 50. 40? 30? It got down to what, 10? And they couldn't even find 10 righteous souls in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it was destroyed utterly. And so the Lord looked at all the wickedness, and in spite of all the wickedness, he saw one man that was walking upright. And he said, I will take this one man, and I will save a pair of everything, and of those that are holy, seven things of the clean thing, and I will begin again. Rather than starting completely over, I will take what I have that does live for me, and I will take those that I can use, and I will begin again. And somebody needs to know this morning, if you could just hear me this morning, rather than destroying everything that you've accomplished so far, it may be better just to begin again. Take what's left and start over. I've always said, work with what you got until you can't work with it any longer. Because it's always better to fix something that's broke. If you can't fix it, throw it away. But if you can fix it, work with it until you do. You only lose everything when you quit. You only lose everything when you quit. There's been many times, many companies, many corporations, they just took what was left and started over again and became a mighty corporation. And in living for God, some of you have had some ups and downs. Some have been through divorces. Some maybe through bankruptcy and all this kind of stuff. But you're still here. And the reason you're still here is because you said, I'll take what's left and I'll just begin again. God spared Noah and his family and two of the fowls and two of the animals that were of everything and seven of the clean things. And the Bible says that the rain fell like it is now, and it fell for 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the water rose out of the earth, and the water, the flood prevailed for 40 days and 40 nights. And finally, the waters began to abate, and it finally dissipated to the point that Noah could get out. And when Noah got out of the ark, what was the first thing he did? He said, I'm going to start over again. And he built an altar. An altar is the sign of starting over again. And he built an altar unto the Lord and offered sacrifices unto God. And he said, we're going to start over, me and my family. There was only eight, it appears to be on the Bible, eight on the ark, eight adults. And he said, we're going to start over again. And Noah began to be, now look at verse chapter 9 and verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Can I tell you, Noah took Adam's old job. The Lord said, I Adam messed it up. I'm going to take this man right here. And rather than me planting the garden, he's going to plant the garden. And I'm going to use him. And from him, he will have Adam's old job. Now, it goes further than that. It goes further than that. He looked at Noah and his family, and he told them the same commandment he told Adam and Eve, to have dominion, to subdue, to be fruitful, and to replenish the earth. And the Lord said, I'll start with one righteous one, and I will begin again. Amen. It's worth, my brothers and sisters, many times in our lives, we feel like just quitting. We feel like it's not worth it. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll just take what's righteous, if you'll just take the good out of the situation and work with the good and increase the good, then after a while, the good will outweigh the bad. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. No one has ever been successful without failing multiple times. Some of you know I'm working on a fishing bait. I'm inventing this fishing bait. I don't tell y'all what all I do in my private life, you know, but I'm inventing this fishing bait. And my wife, I've been working this for about 3 years, two or three years. And filed a patent and all that kind of good stuff. It's going to be awesome. Problem is, every time I think I got it, I don't got it. I told my wife, I don't know how many times I said, I think I got it this time, only to find out there's something else I need to work on. And I think I got it this time. No, this time I really got it. And I'll pass a few out and somebody will use it and something will happen and they'll say, this happened. I was like, I don't got it. I got to work on it some more. I could say, well, I quit. I'm going to quit. No. It catches fish. It catches fish. And I just got to keep working on it until I perfect it. Or you understand what I'm trying to teach you? And you just got to keep working on it. You don't quit. You just keep working on it until you perfect it. If you want to know anything about paint, just ask me. I'm the guru of paint. I've worked with every kind of alcohol paint, ethanol paint, acrylic paint, oil paint. You name the paint, I've used every kind of paint to make it stick to this foam on this fishing bait. I'm an expert in paint. See, I've learned so much in my failures. And I think I got it this time. I really do. Now listen close. The reason I'm saying that, I really do, because that's what I said the last time, and the time before that, and the time before that. And that's what faith is. The faith is saying, I think I got it this time. Well, it didn't, but I got it this time. I got it this time. That's right. I'm a little closer to getting it this time. But I thought I had it that time, but I got it this time. And you're just getting from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen. And we keep following the light till we reach the perfect day, the Bible says. So don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Just say, well, it's better than it used to be. Hallelujah. It works good. It's going to be perfect. And it keeps me going. I got it this time. You know how many depressed people have told me, I'm over it this time. And then I'm like, we need to pray, don't we? Yeah, I'm not doing good. And then they'll come out, I'm over it this time. But they're getting a little closer to really being over it. Or you understand what I'm trying? That's faith. Because faith always says, it's so positive, I think I got it this time. I think the Lord healed me this time. And then, you kind of comes back. You go, let's pray some more. I think it got it this time. Until you finally got it. Till you finally do got it. Amen. I'm going to bring my fishing bait one of these days when I get it. I got it now. It's there. Amen. That's why we believe that God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If you'll just strengthen me, I'll try again. In my weakness, I can't do it. But if you'll just strengthen me, I'll try it again. I'll keep going until I perfect it. Amen. The Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall rise again. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. You can put me in darkness, I still got a light. My light goes with me. So no matter where you put me, I'm going to keep the light. Quitting is never an option. No, because you lose everything when you quit. I'll just begin again. As they come this morning, most of the time it's easier to begin again than it is to start completely over. Rather than me just starting over, when I made this fishing bait, I started with a cork, a piece of foam, and carved this thing out with a Dremel tool. Dremel. And then after I got it like I wanted it, I carved it in wax with a lamp, a torch, and wax until I made it, carved it with my two little hands, and I worked on it until I finally got it like I wanted it, and I sent it to China. And then they worked on it some more. A lot of places I could give up and say, oh, well, what's the use? But success is when you keep trying and you keep trying until it finally works and it finally pays off. Every one of us is going to fall. It's not if I fall, it's when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. It's not if you go into darkness, you will go into darkness, but the Lord will be a light unto me. God took one man that fell out of his grace and replaced him with another man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you hear that? He took one man, Adam, that fell out of the grace of God. He said, I'm through. It looked like I'm through. I'm going to destroy everything. But he looked down there and he saw one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, I can work with that. You got to find in every situation what you can work with. There's some things I can't work with. There's attitudes I can't work with in this church and people. I can't work with bad attitudes. I can't work with gossipers. I can't work with strife. I can't. But there's some good in everything I can work with. So let's work with what we can work with. And we'll worry about the other later. We'll get to that. But let's come together and work together on everything that furthers the cause of God. Can you say amen? Man's failures will never stop God's plan. It'll never stop God's plan. God had a plan. I don't know for 100% sure, but it seems to me like when Adam and Eve were out of the garden, they had Cain and Abel. It just seems to me like Christ was going to come through Abel. But Cain slew Abel. And God says, well, I messed my plans up. I guess I'm not going to be able to redeem man. That's not what God does. He said, I got another plan. That was my plan. But I got plan B. I got an infinity of plans. And so the Bible says that Eve knew her husband again, and she had another son and had this boy whose name was Seth, whom the Lord gave her in the stead of Abel. Not instead of Abel, in the stead of Abel. And so this Seth, it was then that men began to praise the Lord. So God knows what he's doing. God will work with whatever you'll let him work with. As little as much, the Bible says, if God is in it. And through Seth would come Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody this morning, as you all stand to your feet, don't quit, don't give up, but work with what you got. I know life hasn't treated some of you fair, and it hasn't been, you don't deserve what you're getting, but I want to tell you, you're better off than so many other people, and look at the good that God has got in your life, and work with that. Woo, work with the good. As they sing this morning, I wish you'd raise your hands right where you are. Yes, he is. Yes, hallelujah.
He is my El Shaddai.